to sleep outside?
Davey.
Who's there?
You're late for your shift, Davey.
Chad?
Come, the store is open.
Fuck that. Oh, Jesus. I'll take my chances inside.
Welcome to my room, bitch.
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Dave, what are you doing here?
What the hell was that? I thought you were in the air vents a second ago. What the hell is going on? Where is everyone? Why does the store look abandoned and scary?
We're in a nightmare, Dave.
A nightmare? How do you know?
I've been living in a nightmare ever since that whole reactor explosion on the Aliens episode. Every night I wake up in the store and I'm forced to watch Alien Covenant. You know, the worst one. It's a hell I can't seem to escape. But this is new. You've never been in my nightmare before.
What do you mean you're forced to watch a movie? Who's forcing you?
Chad, of course.
Chad? No, we fixed him. He's not evil anymore. We fixed his AI. He's fine. Everything's supposed to be normal again.
Maybe in the real world, but this is the dream world, Dave. And in the dream world, there's no escaping Chad's will.
No! No, I don't believe it! You're crazy! You've been at the air vents too long! I'm getting the hell out of here!
It's no use. He'll never let us leave.
We'll see about that! What the?
I told you there's no escape. Every door you go through will lead you right back inside the store.
Well, what does Chad want?
He wants us to watch a movie.
What movie? Oh, Jesus!
Welcome to your nightmare, Dave.
Chad? Chad? No, this isn't real,
Of course it's real, Dave. And you are in my world now, and in here, there is no Cody to save.
Oh yeah, we'll see about that. If this is a dream world, that means I could do whatever I want, right?
Sure, go for it, Dave.
Cody! Hear me! Cody! Help me!
What the fuck? Where the hell am I? What is this?
Cody! Thank God you're here. Oh, you're in trouble now, Chad. Cody, blast him!
God damn it, Dave. Did you pull me into your nightmare? Do you realize I was just on Zegama Beach, sipping a mimosa and watching Terrace House? It's the new season. I was just about to start the last episode.
But Cody, it's Chad. He's evil again.
I don't give a shit, Dave. This is your dream. You figure it out. I'm going back to the beach to finish Terrace House. Kanban wa, motherfucker.
Wait, Cody, wait, don't go. At least tell me how you travel between dreams. Ah, shit.
Nice try, Dave. Now have a seat. Your feature presentation is about to begin.
There's no fighting it, Dave. Chad's too strong.
Then we need help. Someone who won't bail on us for Japanese reality television. Mike! Ryan! Hear me!
Where am I?
Oh man, what happened?
Guys, you're here!
Where is... here?
It looks like the store! Only there's a bunch of cobwebs and skeletons lying around. Well, more skeletons than usual, anyway.
You guys are in Jackie and I's nightmare. Chad's forcing us to watch a movie against our will.
So wait, let me get this straight. We're in the store, and we're about to watch a movie and talk about it. Is that it?
Yes!
How is this different than what we do literally every week?
Because it's scary.
I don't know, it's not that bad. Look at my head. It's normal size here.
Oh my god! You're right, Dave. What kind of a nightmare world is this?
It's a nightmare world that you cannot escape. Now sit down. The movie is about to begin.
Please don't be Alien Covenant. Please don't be Alien Covenant.
The kids of Elm Street don't know it yet, but something is coming to get them.
There's something out there, isn't there?
You could just see cuts happening.
What did that, Lieutenant?
I don't know.
Peter!
Is the coroner got to say?
He's in the jaw and puking since he saw it.
They're gonna kill me for sure.
Did you do it?
There was somebody else there.
He was locked in a room with a girl who went in alive and came out in a rubber bag.
No one knows where it came from or who it will visit next.
Nancy? There's something wrong with you. You're imagining things.
Nightmare. On Elm Street.
Do you believe in the boogeyman?
No.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
No! No!
She's the only one who can stop it. If she fails...
I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy.
No one will survive.
Help me!
Wes Craven, director of The Hills Have Eyes and Last House on the Left, a new masterpiece in fantasy terror, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay, that was Nightmare on Elm Street. I am your evil dream master, Chad. I am joined by fellow cinephiles and slave to my power, David Snyder.
What the fuck?
Michael Althouse.
Glad to be here, Chad.
Ryan Caldwell.
I know you guys think this is hell, but I kind of love it. I bet I'll be able to wear a hat now.
Shut up, Ryan.
And special guest, Jackie.
I'm just glad I finally got to watch something different for a change.
So what would you like us to talk about, Chad?
Discuss the film. Do we always do? I don't know. Talk about Johnny Depp or something.
Yeah, how old is he when he filmed this? Because he looks all of, like, barely 18.
He was definitely young. Let me, hold on. Chad, I'm assuming that your powers still work here? I mean, your powers of trivia and whatnot, we can still use you as a computer.
Affirmative.
Okay, perfect. So Johnny Depp.
He was born in 1963.
Okay,
so I'm assuming this probably filmed in 83, 84, so he would have only been about 20 years old.
Yeah,
so
barely 20, yeah.
And you're right, he looks it. He is super young, and this is hard, but would you say out of a whole... All right, I'm just going to put this out there. So as we were watching this, I was writing down some notes, and one of the notes I put down was bad acting. This movie has terrible acting in it, and I can't decide if Johnny Depp is one of the better actors in the movie, or if he's just kind of par for the course for the young, kind of not great talent in this movie.
I think he's good in it.
I think he's maybe a little bit better than the actress playing Nancy, but that's not saying a lot.
Oh my god, I look 20 years old.
I look 20 years old.
Do you think that is that su- that's supposed to be like a
an outrageous teenager thing. Okay, that she say. I that's how I took it, but it's also yeah. I mean, the delivery speaks for itself.
Well, at most from her, I don't. Does it ever explicitly say how old they are in the movie?
I think they're meant to be like seniors in high school.
Maybe I'm imagining this. I feel like there was a line towards the beginning, like when we're first like waking up from Tina's nightmare, and you know they're walking to class. But I don't know. Like in my mind, they're 16, 17, like not even seniors.
It was kind of interesting though. Like there was one aspect of this movie that I didn't remember the first time I saw it, but picked up on it this time, that made one of the characters seem older. The guy who they first peg as the murderer.
Oh, Leather Jacket Boyfriend?
Yeah, Leather Jacket Boyfriend. I forget his name, but...
it's like Rod or something.
Rod, dumb. Yeah. Well, let's call him Rod.
That's his name, Rod Lane.
Rod Lane. There's like a tossed-off line where the dad cop or whatever is like, oh, yeah, he's got a rap sheet, and like talks about that he's been like arrested for like minor offenses, and... That seems to me of like, whoa, this guy's like led a life. He's probably older than like 16.
I feel like his was among the casting too. He looked older than the other ones, especially again next to just like baby faced Johnny Depp and Nancy. And
I mean,
stuff.
Nancy's definitely in high school, and they make jokes about.
Oh wow! No, he was the same age as Johnny Depp.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know about in universe. Maybe. I mean, because I don't think. Yeah, I mean, definitely
playing older
high school age. I mean, they can't be over 18, I don't think, in their character's age.
Well, in the 80s and 90s, like 40-year-olds played high school characters.
It's true, yeah.
It's hard to find a good medium.
So I guess all things considered, like out of all the horror movies, or really all movies ever where, you know, 40-year-olds or 30-year-olds are playing high school students, 20, 21 years old, ain't too bad. That's close enough.
That's true.
They all look young. Like they had like... All the characters, except for Johnny Depp and his perfect skin at the time.
Oh my god, he's like fucking like a Ken doll. He just looks crazy.
He was so smooth.
But I think everyone else had zits. Like genuine. Yeah.
Dude,
teen
Heather
zits.
Langenkamp, that scene in the fucking, if we're going to talk about zits, that scene in the, when they're putting the little diodes on her head, like right on her forehead, they put it right there. And I'm just like, they couldn't get some makeup. I mean, come on.
It was, I like that in terms of like, you know, teens in
it's
movies
more realistic.
Not looking 40 again.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, it was, I mean, I wouldn't want my, skin at age, whatever she was when she filmed this to be recorded forever on film.
Well, she was almost 20 after all.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just barfed.
Well, before we get into kind of the story and the acting, like, what was your all's history with Nightmare on Elm Street? Like, have you had, like, who here hasn't seen this before?
I had not seen it. I maybe hadn't seen it all the way through, but I feel like my main associations with it were like the Treehouse of Horror Simpsons episode that Michael reminded me of.
Groundskeeper Willie.
Or like I knew of the many sequels it had and like Freddy versus Jason stuff, but I had never seen the OG.
It's kind of one of those movies
Street.
That, yeah, like it's been parodied like in everything you've ever seen. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of in the pop culture, you know, kind of thing. So it's like you almost feel like you've seen it. Because I probably didn't see it. I remember watching bits and pieces on TV a lot, but I probably didn't see it till I was like in my early 20s, like all the way through in one sitting.
What did you think of it when you first saw it, right? Because you had probably seen like Freddy vs. Jason and all that stuff.
Oh,
right?
I went and saw Freddy vs. Jason in theaters. Fucking loved that shit. Like, no, I think I was more
wait,
of
they
a...
they meet? Whoa! Like,
I think I was more of a... I was more of a Jason and Mike Myers guy, and I'd always catch
it's
those.
Same here.
And I think it just like I don't know. Freddy was creepy, but like I don't know. There's more like at the time I probably was just like not into the magical stuff as much as I am like just like the fucking brutal killings of Mike Myers or something.
It's true that like yeah, compared to Halloween, which I feel like that the kind of reception that Halloween gets or got, I think that there's regarded, yeah, there's like a lot more in the original Halloween that's just straight up like, whoa, this is scary. This is like a very simple, well done, scary thing in many ways. Whereas Nightmare on Elm Street from the get-go is kind of goofy.
I don't know. I agree. And it is goofy and he's a goofy character, but I don't know. I think this movie holds up as there's a lot of cool effects and, it's crazy. I probably seen bits and pieces of the sequels, but I don't know if I've seen another of the one of the, you know what? I think I saw two all the way through or maybe three, but yeah, it's just one I didn't really follow like I did the other movies. And, but I do enjoy this movie a lot and think it's, pretty rad movie.
I saw about 15 minutes of the remake in the 2010 remake. Was that when it came out?
Yeah.
Because a while ago I was trying to watch this movie and accidentally started watching the remake and didn't realize till like 20 minutes in, like, oh, this, like, the whole time I'm like, this seems pretty, like, interestingly directed for the 80s, and yeah, I was a big dummy.
This camera quality,
like,
is
this seems like a nightmare unto itself. Oh my god.
I think like what you guys were saying about it being goofy, I think that's like the tone of it is like intentional. I don't think it's meant to be like it's almost like not even like a scary movie or something. It's more
that's
just
the
like
thing. Yeah, it's,
I was thinking like, oh, Wes Craven, the director, like that name, that fake name he has is so apropos, like Craven, because that's kind of like what this is. Apparently that's his real ass name though, is Wes Craven.
Well, it's funny, Ryan, that you mentioned like a lot of stuff holds up. I kind of feel the same way. Like, I mean, you can't beat practical effects sometimes. I mean, practical effects almost will always hold up. Well, I mean, to a degree. But, like, it's like, yeah, I grew up, as some of you may know, I grew up a huge horror fan. My brother would watch horror movies, and I kind of, like, emulated him, and I would watch movies with him, horror movies specifically. However, Nightmare on Elm Street, although I did watch, I had seen all these movies as a kid, out of the big three, like Friday the 13th, Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, I would say Elm Street was probably the one I saw the least out of all those three. I was way more into Friday the 13th and Halloween. However, like, if I'm going to look back and take the whole franchise as a whole, all three of these franchises as a whole, compared them to the others, I think objectively, if I'm just looking at the entire franchise, not like the individual movies, or maybe, and if I'm not grading them on the first that started each franchise, I'm going to say objectively, looking at it now, that as a franchise, I think Nightmare on Elm Street might be the best one, if only because I think
it's kind of. It's kind of like, has a thing of just trying to like come up with new kills, like, you know, Final Destination kind of style, and just like,
well, there's some creativity to this franchise that I don't think is in Friday the 13th or Halloween. Like, how, like, Friday the 13th, like, kind of fell into redundancy like very quickly. Those are all basically the same movie. Halloween just completely went off the rails by the time we got to part six. Like, you know, maybe we'll get to the Halloween series sometime if we have a nightmare where Chad forces us to watch the Halloween series. God forbid. But Nightmare on Elm Street, it stayed consistent, and it did have some really shitty entries, granted. But I feel like even in the shitty entries, again, this franchise, this story lends itself to like a degree of creativity in the kills and the atmosphere that I think the other two big three franchises of the 80s did not.
I think that's a really good point. Yeah, about the like the blank slate of like dream stuff allows for just way more creative things and stuff like that. I also think that the word I was looking for earlier, that Nightmare on Elm Street kind of gets at that the other, like we said, big three don't, is that it's not necessarily that it's goofy, but that there is like this level of camp to it, which like in my mind is like, it's intentional, the stuff that is on the sillier side of things, and they know it, and it's almost a wink at the camera, but it's not quite, and it all kind of it's able to go together with the actually scary parts of like I mean, just the opening nightmare, or maybe when Tina's murdered, but of just like, there's a like creepy, scary shape with claws moving toward me. Holy shit. Like, that's scary, dream or not. And the campiness, allows to kind of go into the
yeah, then there's a close up of that thing, and he cuts his fingers off and pus starts shooting out, and he's like,
he literally like looks at her, he's like, huh?
Dave, I think it was when we were doing the Alita episode, but I remember you said that you like having villains that like laugh at how evil they are.
He's evil and he loves it.
Evil and loving it.
He's evil and he loves it. And like, not only is Freddy, I mean, Freddy is obviously that, but I feel like this movie is like the embodiment of that. Like, it's like, ah, look at all how fucked up this is. Look at all this blood, isn't it?
Yeah. I think having the same actor throughout the whole series gives it credibility as well. When, like, who the fuck knows? There's some big guy under that mask in Freddy, I mean, in Jason movies and stuff.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Well, and it's interesting you say that. In the second movie, they weren't immediately going to recast Robert Englund as Freddy. They were going to be like, yeah, just, I don't know, put whoever in there.
That's ridiculous. Because he makes it.
Right? Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, that's pretty much, he didn't really do much else, right? Like, did he ever do anything that you know
of? Well, no, he acted in movies before this, before this. He was in Toby Hooper's, I think it was his follow-up to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It was called Eaten Alive, where he plays kind of a scumbag guy. It's a movie about like a guy who like feeds people to his pet alligator.
And there's always that urban legend that he was roommates, well, I think he was, with Mark Hamill, and was the one that recommended the Star Wars role or something, because he was going out for it too.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's kind of a legend because I guess everyone was still doing it, but he was roommates with Mark Hamill like when they were like 20, you know? It's so crazy.
I'm your father, bitch.
Can you imagine if Robert Englund was Darth Vader or something like that?
Or he was Luke?
Or like Han Solo or something, you know?
But great kid, don't get cocky, bitch.
You're in my Falcon now, bitch.
You know, all right, so while we're on that, let's get into Freddy Krueger, the story. Mike, why don't you, like, what's this movie about for those listening in this nightmare dream hellscape who haven't seen the movie?
So this guy, Freddy Krueger, back in the day was a serial killer.
I'm so sorry to interrupt right away. His name is Fred Krueger.
Oh yeah, I'm not familiar with the man myself, so I should stick to the formal Fred. So Frederick Krueger. He killed a bunch of kids, and the court didn't find him guilty, even though the lawyers and the judges made lots
like
of money
technicality
and got all famous.
Or something, right?
Yeah, technicality. So good old fashioned mob justice. No,
fuck
that
yeah.
Always goes great. the parents banded together. The parents of Elm Street, I presume, banded together and burned him alive. So you know, justice was done. But wouldn't you know it? Now he's haunting. For some reason, just like all of a sudden, now he's haunting the dreams of all their kids. But in the dream, he can kill them for real. So we just have like four kids who all start experiencing the nightmare. One by one, they start dying. And there's the classic, you know, believe us, mom, believe us, cops. And they're like, oh, you're crazy. Just get some sleep.
a lot of common horror tropes in this movie. Most notably with the parents who don't believe the kids.
Yeah, and a good trope, but maybe this started, I don't know, but the character who can't fall asleep, like, has to stay awake for some reason. I like that. That's always, so there's a lot of fun stuff of just, you know, like, I love the bit where she's, Nancy is like up late drinking coffee and popping like, basically speed. I'm assuming.
What
and
was it? The like, stay awake pills.
Yes. Yeah, stay awake. Extra strength.
Definitely just speed.
And like her mom comes in and like takes the like coffee away from her and like whatever.
Yeah, she's got a spare hidden.
Yeah,
under
she's like asleep and she like pulls like a fully brewed pot of coffee in a coffee machine under her nightstand. Yeah, like what? It's like very like Looney Tunes-y kind of. But yeah, so that's it. And eventually, you know, they burn him again. I love that, like the way he ends too. And you can tell it's like the one moment where Freddy is like afraid is when he starts seeing the fire. But in my mind, every time I see that, I'm imagining like, not again.
Fuck, I hate fire. Well, it's interesting. Like you mentioned, like tropes. Like I would say, like out of the three big horror franchises, so I think we can all agree Halloween was like a prototype, or the template for a lot of horror movies to follow. Like a lot of movies ripped it off. A lot of movies ripped Friday the 13th off. But Nightmare on Elm Street is so unique. It's hard to like rip this movie off without it like being completely obvious that it's a ripoff.
One thing, Halloween was before this, right?
Halloween was, yeah, 78.
So there was one thing that I was thinking of, like, obviously that was an inspiration for this movie, but really puts in perspective. I think it was a inspiration, but one thing, and one thing that I think is maybe the strongest besides just teens and slasher, the music was definitely like shitty John Carpenter synth.
God.
Like, it really put into perspective how cool, because it's basically the same sonic template of like these weird synths and
Casio,
like,
keyboard.
Yeah, but like John Carpenter is like bum 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 bum, and it's like, oh cool,
there's
this
like
is tense.
Restraint in, but like, in that.
Yeah, and like in this one, it's just like
along with some guitars.
It was so bad in terms of the music. Yeah, just all over the place.
Yeah, there's like times where I'm like, I think I'm supposed to be like, this is supposed to be scary, but I feel like I'm in like a club right now or
like
something.
It does turn comedic from only just like a really upbeat drum fucking.
And the creepy stuff, I feel like he's just like hitting every, like a cat is walking over his keyboard. It's just like, we do.
Well, there are two good bits of music in this. The Nightmare on Elm Street theme, I suppose. Do, 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 do. That's creepy enough, I guess. It's no Halloween, but it's fine. And then, of course, you get the melody, the nursery rhyme.
I don't know if I count that as the soundtrack.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't really count, though. So, like, the rest of the music in this.
Sure. You know?
Well, it's memorable, but as far as, like, the score in this movie, it is not good. It is very 80s. It is out of all the things in the movie, it might be the thing that's aged the worst.
I might though say the music is so bad it's good. I think that it's like it was
it
bad, but it was
bring
funny.
Me joy.
Yeah.
Back to talking about just the tropes and the connection to slightly earlier entries into like what we now consider like the slasher genre. If it's playing off of Halloween, it's true that there's a lot in common of the final girl, definitely, and it's the whole thing of same type of character of like, this is the, you know, smart girl, the sweet girl who, you know, might break a rule or two, but she's not like her friend who has sex.
Yeah, she dies right away.
And that's, this is obviously a trope that turns up all over the damn place, but especially in this, like, it was almost funny to me the way that it's probably, what, like, not even 15 minutes into the movie when all the teens are hanging out and it's before Tina dies that her shitty, leather jacket boyfriend comes over and then they fuck and Johnny Depp says like morality. It was like, that's script saying right there. Like
Johnny Depp is on the couch like, morality
sucks. If only I wasn't such a...
Wait, he said morality?
He says morality sucks.
Yeah, so they're all like...
You can hear from the other room, they're like...
Yeah,
just
you can hear the
sex
noises,
noises,
and Johnny Depp's like on the couch because he's pure and not going to have sex with his girlfriend.
Well, and because the girlfriend, specifically because Nancy, you know, he tries to make out with her, but when the boyfriend comes over and she says, and that's why she's the good final girl who will live, she's like, no, we can't, like, we got to be here for Tina, we can't do that right now. So, and that's why...
Tina dies as soon as she has sex.
Tina dies literally minutes after the over-the-top off-screen sex noises, and
were pretty over-the-top. Like,
it was like, okay, first of all, no one in high school is having sex that impressive. but like, that is an important kind of element of the final girl trope, is this like, you know, creepy. Puritan-esque sexual stuff of like, she's not like one of those girls who deserve to die, as we all know.
Yeah, and the guy dies, the leather, he's the next one to die. And then Johnny Depp, we all know, but only after we see him being disobedient to his parents and staying up and watching
Christian
TV.
Oh my
yeah.
God, that was one of the worst scenes in the movie. I cringed.
Just the interaction with his mom.
See, I got this cousin who lives near the airport. It's okay for me to stay with, right? And I got the sound effects tape from Rod. Hello, Mom?
Yeah, out here at Barry's. Huh? Yeah, noisy as usual. Glad we don't live here, huh? Yeah, Aunt Eunice says hello. Right, I'll call you in the morning. Yeah, sure, just some kids drag racing outside, I think, Mom. Listen, Ma, I gotta go. I think there's been an accident out front. Right. Right, I'll call the police. Right, I'll call the police. No, just some neighbors having a fight, I guess. I'm fine. I'll call you in the morning.
So bad. Well, it's like, gets me wondering, like, so they were at Tina's house, right?
Yes, and her also bad slutty mom was out of town.
Out of town in Vegas with her boyfriend.
With her boyfriend.
Well, it's just, I guess it makes me wonder, like, if she described it as a sleepover with friends, it's like, why would they have a problem with that?
Because I guess I'm asking,
like, Glenn's parents.
There could be boys there, Dave.
What?
There could be boys there.
Oh, come on. Yeah, but it's with her friends, though. All she had to say was, I'm having a sleepover with friends. Like, that's all she needed to say. I guess what I'm getting at is, like, I don't think her parents would have cared. Like, her parents seem, or his parents, excuse me. I don't think his parents would have cared. They seem pretty, you know, laid back. Like, in fact, this is like kind of a, this is almost a what the fuck moment that I realized years after watching this movie. It's like, out of all the parents, it seems like Johnny Depp's are the most normal, considering all these parents, like, I guess, like, burned a man alive.
They were a lynch mob.
His dad is kind of shitty, because the only thing you really see of him, he's, like, standing outside of his, like, he's on his porch drinking, and, like, just looking over at Nancy, like, that girl ain't right. I don't want my kid hanging around her no more.
Comparatively speaking,
yeah,
I mean,
sure,
he's
sure.
Acting pretty weird.
There's no one hiding multiple bottles of like the same brand of gin in
like
every
cartoon
spare
level.
Space of the house.
I actually kind of liked Johnny Depp's mean dad when like Nancy's trying to call and he's just like, Glenn's asleep. Call back tomorrow.
Well, you got to be stern with these kids.
You got to be stern. Honestly, if I was a parent and someone called my house at midnight and asked to speak to my child, and I'd like, okay, I feel like we see scenes at school twice, including the very cool dream sequence of Nancy's. But then it's like never again mentioned. Like, so is it a school? Like, do you guys go to class still?
I think it's all happening on the weekend.
Oh, okay. Is that
it's a long weekend.
Short time frame. But like, yeah, someone calling up your teenage child at midnight? No, thank you.
Yeah,
of
and the whole house
that
is ringing.
Right.
That's annoying. Like, it's
well,
not
yeah,
like
it's
a cell
80s.
Phone.
There's not a second line.
Yeah.
I'm kind
that's
of
what,
on
this is what I'm getting at.
Text.
Like, his dad, I mean, yeah, his dad maybe seems like kind of a prick, but like otherwise normal, considering 20 years ago or whatever many years ago, they burned a man alive. But it just... I guess what I'm getting at is it's funny that his parents are somewhat normal compared to everyone else. I mean, Nancy's mom is like a drunk fuck up and
burned a man alive after he was acquitted of crimes. Like,
well, still, I mean, whatever the guy's crimes, you burned a man alive and watched it, and it's like, and for some reason, Nancy's mom kept the fucking murder glove in her.
Was
like what?
Speaking,
I guess
of
what I'm saying is, how are his parents normal? That's a what the fuck moment in and of itself.
That's a good point. That though, in turn, going back to the very unique acting in this film, the way that the that Nancy's mom acts, and maybe it was a choice on the actress's part to be playing like she's a drunk weird mom, but like every delivery of hers was so funny to me, especially the beginning of the speech about Freddie's backstory. She's like, he was a hideous child murderer, and she says it just like not blinking.
She's awful. Like,
and then she's just
bad.
Like, and he's
so bad in this
and
movie.
These and here are his knives. I kept them. It's just like, anyway, I'm going to go drink
okay,
some more gin.
Mommy killed him. Like, what?
Mommy
yeah,
killed
and
him.
Yeah, and
fine.
Then, like, she caps it all off with, like, I mean, and this is the dialogue, obviously, not the actress, but it's just bizarre because, yeah, she's like, all right, so now that I've shown you this is a real person you're dreaming about and I keep his claw in
a
our
real
basement,
person that
you
I
don't
helped
have
murder?
Anything to worry about. Now
anyway,
you can go to sleep.
Totally fine. Mommy took care of it.
Yeah. This actress, Ronnie Blakely, was nominated for an Oscar in 1976 for Nashville.
Oh, wow.
Is that a real movie?
Yeah. It won Best Picture.
So I don't know if it was a steep fall or what.
Hey,
but,
maybe she really was going method, and she was like, this is how the alcoholic, catatonic parent would deliver these lines.
Maybe she was like, just like looking around and reading the script, just like, oh God, this is my bottom. Like I've just like,
she was
checked
taking
out.
The paycheck.
Yeah.
Do you think she was actually drunk on set?
No, but maybe she just didn't care. You know, I mean, well, maybe she was. I don't know. It was the '80s. Everyone was drunk on set.
My vote is for method, but yes, also they were definitely still. Again, you could buy speed over the counter.
Yeah, I mean, this was like
it was probably on her own stuff.
I feel like caffeine.
This was
pills,
bad acting on a whole nother level. That moment where like she gets her booze taken away and Nancy runs off and you know they're on the top floor of the stairs or whatever and she's just like, ugh. Like she gives this look. She turns her head and closes her eyes like, ugh. Do you know the moment I'm talking about?
I think the worst moment of acting is when she is on the couch drunk and she's like, it's like the only time of the movie where she like plays it as if she's drunk. And it's like, so like, yeah, there's no point at the end. Like, it's like,
I locked
the door. It reminded me of like people like when I remember in like high school acting, people trying to play drunk who have never been or seen someone drunk.
Yeah, definitely. Like even when she's not supposedly drunk in the story, like there's a moment after the funeral where the dad, John Saxon, is just like, what the hell is going on? And she's like, I've got something better. Get her some help. Like, what kind of line is that?
So I guess I'm gonna get her some help.
it's bad on both fronts. It's like the script is bad in some areas, and then she is particularly bad. And you throw that combination together, and it's just like just terrible.
May I submit to What the Fuck notes that the funeral, who is for the guy, right? The funeral's for the guy,
right,
who dies.
Not Tina.
Who apparently everyone hates, but now the whole town's rallying around his funeral. Meanwhile, Tina, like, no one gives a shit. No funeral, nothing.
I love how they even played it out, too. Like,
was
the,
in Vegas.
The priest is like, he who lives by the sword,
yeah, even the
dies by the
like,
sword.
Fuck this guy, right?
So we all agree, fuck this guy. Amen.
More like fuck Tina. They're not. It's like, where's her funeral? What
I'm
the
surprised
hell?
After like the priest gave his thing, the whole town didn't just light the coffin on fire.
This is how we deal with things.
I think
this
like
as a family,
kind of what we're talking about is something that the movie gets close to doing. I wish it went more in this direction. I think this might be like, if you're gonna do a remake of this movie, this might be a ripe area to go more into this. But there's a little bit, I think, of the idea that all of these parents are kind of shitty people putting on a very normal and pleasant front, which is something that like a lot of people do. And Freddy Krueger is sort of like the embodiment of like their rot. And he is like, he is them, like, you know, in a way, like he is sort of like the shadow that they cast. And that's a cool idea. But I feel like the movie never really, like, beyond just kind of the setup of they caused him, I don't think it explores that too much. But I think all the pieces are there for something interesting.
If I remember, you mentioned the remake. There was a remake of this movie in 2010, which
I guess you saw
15 minutes of. Well, if I remember right, they sort of get into a little more of the parents' angle. Like, it explores their side a little bit. Like, I thought they made one interesting change. Like, they made Nancy's father, one of the parents is like the principal at the school. So I don't know. I feel like there's a little more interaction with you get the angle of the parents a bit more, but nothing to like. So here's what the remake does.
I want to hear
so
about
they
this.
Go,
tell me.
They go full on. So and you'll notice in this movie, they say child killer. They don't say child molester.
Yeah,
no.
I do know that about the extended lore of like, oh, he's a pedophile, but wait. And
they're very particular. Like that was one thing when Wes Craven was making this, that was in the script, I think, initially. But then they're like,
we want to keep this fun.
Like, let's keep it fun.
Just
make him a child
killer.
Yeah, whereas in the remake, it's pretty explicit that he was a pedophile.
Yeah.
He was a child molester. And they had this whole thing that Freddy Krueger was a groundskeeper at like a preschool or something. And he has like a special area that he takes the kids into, and Nancy was his favorite.
Remake builds into it. Actually, that main girl, she was raped.
Yeah, and it's...
Just so you know.
That's
whereas this movie, see, you can have fun with Child Killer. I mean,
well, and you can also have fun by the fact that like they don't go that hard in it. It's just mentioned. It's not like the main character is like, yeah, and when I was a kid, he tried to kill me or something.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's the because his backstory is literally like the 30-second monologue from Nancy's mom. And
they spend more time establishing that he has pus inside of him than they do.
God, that was gross. No, but that kind of is something that I liked about the movie is that even though it has, as I said, the, sexual politics of the time of let's punish the girl who has sex and the girl who doesn't is the good one. It's none of the scariness from Freddy comes from like a sexualized thing. Like whenever Nancy is in the nightmare world and he's like, around the corner calling out to her, it's never like, oh, and I'm gonna rape you. It's a like, this is a nightmare monster. This
well,
isn't a
hold on,
oh,
hold on.
Oh God, what am I forgetting? Say,
the bathtub.
You're forgetting the tongue.
Oh God, that's
and the
true.
Tongue into the phone.
Come to Freddy.
Okay, yeah, that was like,
well, I think I think it does have to do with like sex and stuff and puberty and growing up and just like being like icked out. Like there's a part where like Freddy looks like a fucking like dick on like the wall. Remember that? Like what? Like.
What kind of dicks
I don't remember
have you
this
seen?
Part, Ryan.
Doesn't he like kind of like doesn't he like stick out? Like doesn't he like
are you talking about like an irradiated like mutant dick out in the waist?
I don't know how I
see.
About that.
You're the part where she's sleeping and he comes through the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
it looks
okay.
like a big condom in a
That was
a fucking
great effect.
Yeah, like,
Dave, before we move on from this real quick, I wanted to ask because one of the cool things about this were the effects and they were obviously practical. Does the remake keep that tradition? Does it switch to CG? Like what is it like?
Well, here's the thing. So speaking of this particular effect where he comes through the wall, if I remember right, that was literally just sort of like a piece of plastic or something that he literally just kind of, they like made it really taut and tight and he just kind of moved
his dick
through
and coming through a condom. It's all sex. Everything.
He's bald, Ryan. His head isn't a phallus.
He's only accidentally a phallus.
It's a condom wall. Dick
was
coming through.
But anyway, it was a very simple effect. He just comes through like this material, then comes out, and they like make it tight again. It's a practical effect.
Looks great.
The remake goes the CG route, and it looks like shit.
Mm. Surprise, surprise.
Is it all CG? Like all the effects?
There's some like throat cutting moments, and that's obviously practical and stuff like that. But
do they have anything like Johnny Depp being swallowed and then the blood shooting up?
If I remember right, they do redo that, yeah.
Oh, that's even better. A shitty CGI remake of a very cool effect.
Well, I can't remember if that moment is CG or not, but all in all, I'll say that the remake is very forgettable, and there's a reason that nobody talks about it, especially now in Wasteland or this dream hellscape that we're in. But I remember back in the day, like, I don't know, maybe like 10 years after the movie came out, no one was talking about
it. I'll say, as far as forgettable, so I paid money to rent it, and when I realized it was like this wasn't the right one, I just didn't watch it. I like just okay. Well, I saw 10 minutes.
Were you able to get
that.
Your money back?
No, I didn't. What was I gonna say, Dave? Like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm a dumbass.
You bought the wrong one.
Yeah, that's on me.
I wanted the good one.
Hey, would you like if someone came to the video store and
is dumb?
Know,
I'm not gonna say. I'm not gonna lie.
That was a dummy mistake.
Just the covers. Just like the cover of, it, like, I don't know. You can just tell from the damn poster.
Just imagine walking into the video store. What are you, some kind of moron or something?
Yeah, Dave, I mean, you run a video store. You want someone coming back asking for refunds for their mistakes, getting the wrong movie?
Well, no, what I'm getting at is you got it online, right? Didn't they used to have a thing where you can just, like, explain why you fucked up? Or, oh, hey, my kid bought this or some shit.
Yeah, my kid bought this. That's what I should have said.
I guess what I'm saying is you didn't need to be out $4 when that happened.
Well, you know what? I moved on.
Live and learn.
Well, we were talking about practical effects. Like, do you guys want? Let's talk about the effects of this movie. Like, I think for the most part, the effects hold up pretty well. You got the famous geyser of blood, which I think is awesome.
Yeah. That was really cool. Just like, because again, that's an image that I definitely have seen you know, parodied or just done not as well. And it's like, nah, here's the real deal. It's fucked up good.
It's cool. Like, there's two parts of that scene to me that I think, that I feel when I'm watching it. The first is he falls down, you know, and you're like, okay, this is happening. It's kind of like ridiculous and funny because like there's no way he has that much blood.
The
like
excess,
that
yeah.
is so much more like comedically it's so much more blood than would ever be in a person, and that's kind of fun. And then you have the shot of the mom where she walks in, and yeah. that's kind of like her reaction. I think genuinely makes it like scary, and when it cuts back to that, you see her like ah, and then it cuts back to the room, and it's like a different angle, and it's more just like, oh god, what the fuck is like? Imagine walking in on this. Like, what are you?
The most horrific thing. All this blood in your child's room.
It's an interesting thing in the movie where, like, the real world, like, the line between the real world and the dream world sort of blurs, because it's like, obviously he doesn't have that much blood in his body, but his mom is in the real world. Yeah. So she's coming in, but yet there's still all that blood. And then, you know, there's a moment in the beginning that just one of the most iconic scenes from the movie when Tina gets killed, and, like, she's, like, kind of, like, you know, being dragged up.
That might
have
been my favorite practical effect. That was really good.
That was it was, that itself
they did it
was
using
scary.
Like a rotating set.
Oh, that's super cool.
Like the entire set rotated.
I was thinking it was Inception like they just style. Had no regard for her safety and were like flinging her around with wires or something.
That's just as likely.
But again, like he is awake. Like in that moment, Rod is awake, and he's like he's trying to like see like who's cutting you, who's cutting you, and there's nobody there. It just looks like she's having a fit.
Yeah.
But then she literally like levitates from the bed, is just like ah, and it's being dragged up. It's like an interesting thing in this movie where like the line between reality and the dream world blurs.
It's that as well with like when Nancy's being watched in the hospital, and then you know she gets woken up from the dream by the doctors and her mom. She's got his hat, and she's her hair is turned a little bit white, and it's this weird, like, liminal space of, like, what you can, I think as she says, like, bring back or, like, get your hands on in this period between sleep and wake. And it's, it's a weird kind of, like, there can be witnesses to, like, the effects of it, it would seem, but it's also, like, you know, like a weird overlap of like the dreamscape, but then the physicality of the sleeping person, and that's
well,
where
it's really,
it succeeds just as like horror.
Well, it's really weird. Like I think one of the weirdest parts of this instance is when Freddy kills Rod.
Oh
he's in
with the
prison cell, and he
blanket.
Like makes it seem like he hung himself. It's really weird because. Well, first off, like Nancy's plan is just ridiculous. Like she wants to. What's her plan exactly? Like wake me up or something like that.
Yeah, wake me up and I'll like grab him and bring him into the real world.
Well, no, I'm not talking about that part. That's the end. I'm talking about the part where they go to like where Johnny Depp is like following her and they like go to the prison cell or something like that.
Did she have a plan beyond just like being like I think Freddy Krueger is going to kill him in his sleep and we got to check on him?
I don't know. It's really weird, but they would both be asleep, though, right? Or were they asleep? Maybe I'm getting confused.
I think you're overthinking it. I think they were awake, and it's just Freddy Krueger was influencing the real world somehow.
But that is also
because she sees him. Like they're outside the jail cell, and they're looking down into his cell, and they see Freddy Krueger walk through the prison cell in that really terrible looking effect. Like, that's an effect that doesn't hold up. Is when he walks through the prison cell, he's like, "Hey."
Yeah, he like looks back at her and is like, "Wink."
That's
a very interesting scene. Yeah, because that's also like not his MO in terms of like using his specially made knife hands. He's like, "Oh, I'm gonna stage this to look like he killed himself."
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to cover his tracks.
I mean, I guess the only explanation I could think of is maybe he wants like a bigger, more tension or whatever between the parents and the kids. He doesn't want the parents to believe him, I guess.
Maybe they just wanted to do a different kind of kill.
That's true.
But it's clearly, it comes off as like, I got to throw the police off my tracks. The police are on my tail. Oh.
Yeah, it's something that, I think they didn't expect us to think this hard about it.
It was weird. I don't know why they did that. But again, it's getting to what I was mentioning before, which is like the blurred line of reality and dreams. It's like It's almost like the movie isn't really specific about its rules, you know, how this stuff works. Like, they can, like, it seems like most of the time, like, parents or people that aren't dreaming can't see the dream stuff happening, but other times they can. It's kind of, it's an ambiguous, I suppose.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's not like exactly what Wes Craven was saying. Nightmare on Elm Street. It's not Inception.
This is Nightmare on Elm Street, not Nightmare on Elm Street 3. We didn't have to think about the universe yet.
That's right. That's true.
the Elm Street extended cinematic universe.
Yeah. I mean, and that could be ECU. Said for, Elm Street, Halloween. I haven't actually seen Friday the 13th, I will reveal.
I haven't seen it either.
I mean, any of these, I'm sorry. We're the worst. But
don't say that out loud. Chad might get you in an endless time loop. We have to watch it a million times.
Oh no! Oh god!
Better than Alien Covenant, probably.
But I would agree.
as for any of these that ended up being sequel fodder and then punchlines and parodies in and of themselves, none of them were expecting to really be anything beyond like. Here's our horror movie. Go. Here's our slasher movie. We're done. And I guess that's true for anything that gets like 6-7 sequels, but you know.
I think there was a lot of like thought and love put into it. I think that it was not that. It wasn't like it was just the cool kills and the cool effects.
Cool effects.
That's it. And I think I wouldn't even be surprised if this is the kind of movie where like some of these effects were ideas people had that were just like
before this
the movie, just like, well, what if we had something like this in a movie?
Oh, and a cool and rope thing,
like what kind of stuff
thing
can we pull off?
Yeah, no. Exactly. And so they're probably not caring. There's someone on set like, actually, I don't know, like CinemaSins guy, like, bleep that, please. I didn't mean to say that out loud.
How dare you?
But yeah, that. like that guy's on set. Like, actually, the hat would look.
It's just Freddy's magic. It's all this. Exactly, it's Freddy's magic. Yeah. It can work outside the world, kind of thing.
Well, and
Freddy's magic.
Speaking of,
it's a magic island. Okay.
God. They weren't dead the whole time.
Speaking of the, just the weird internal rules and logic, and also just the weird liminal space of dream world or not, or etc. The ending of this film is one of those where
driving in a big Freddy car mobile. Freddy
kind of like fog world, like,
in fog world, with drunk dreary mom like, anyway, goodbye sweetie,
everything's fine now.
No, you guys are wrong. Don't you remember, she's like, I'm gonna stop drinking, I just don't feel like it anymore.
Did she say that?
Yeah, she did say that.
I just don't feel like it. You can't stop eating. It's a disease.
I can't. Well,
she mentions her rock bottom, which was, I don't remember the night before. That's like the line, like, oh God, do I have like a, if this is rock bottom.
I should cut it out.
Yeah, like,
put bars on my windows so my child can escape the house. That was really rock bottom.
You know, that really wasn't myself. I think I'm going to stop drinking.
Well, granted, this you could argue that maybe this is all part of this like weird dream ending. Like, is this real or not? Is this just another dream? You know, so I don't know.
Does the nightmare continues?
But I'll tell you, it's definitely not real. The dummy that gets pulled through that window in the door.
Wait, what?
What was this?
What? How do you guys, Ryan? Back me up here.
I'm just trying to think what time.
I'm trying to think what you're talking about.
What are you talking about?
The moment when like they're driving away in the Freddy mobile and like the mom's all waving and then Freddy's glove comes through the little tiny window in the door and pulls the dummy through. That has got to be the worst effect in the movie.
I guess I already put it out of my brain. I need to stop drinking.
That's funny. Has got to be one of the worst dummies I've ever seen in a movie.
They gotta find.
I love dummies in movies. I love it when dummies fall off things and you can tell it's a dummy. Like, some of the best dummies I've ever seen were probably Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom on that bridge when they fall. Those are great.
Oh yeah, they're like
dummies.
Mechanical dummies.
Yeah, this one not so much. It's super stiff. It comes through. It doesn't like the arms don't move. It's all one piece, but it pulls through. And like now, it's not good. And granted, this was. To be fair to this ending and the filmmakers, this was sort of a last-minute thing that they did, this entire ending.
Oh, really?
This was a changed ending. There was just like...
What was the original ending?
I don't remember. Let's pull it up.
To be continued.
Chad, just have the end question mark with yeah. Freddy's laugh.
Question mark? And then he slashes the screen 3 times.
It doesn't... I'm looking at
no
it right now.
No one's ever really
Chad
gone.
Just pulled it up for me, and it looks stiff, but I wouldn't say it looks like a fake... I mean, too bad.
It looks bad.
I mean, obviously, it made no lasting impression in my life.
It's scary. At that moment, you're like, ah! You're like covering your face. You don't even see it, you know? You see your
you
legs.
You sound like Chad right now, Ryan. It's scary. Come on.
I think some of my favorite moments that are kind of creepy, and even they're not even that fantastical, but it's like her running up the stairs. It's like goopy. You know,
oh yeah, that's one of my favorite really moments scary. Too, where it's really leaning into the like dream logic thing.
Yeah, that's something that I kind of, and I having seen none of the sequels, that's something that I really enjoy the most about the movie is, yeah, when they go for the dream logic stuff of like, I'm trying to run away, but my feet are stuck or something like
that. That was really good. And when she saw, when Nancy falls asleep in class and sees the body bag of Tina being pulled, that was like crazy.
That shit's the scary stuff.
And him, and then there's a good jump scare where Freddy jumps through that window right there. So there's some scary moments. I mean, not the window, the mirror. He's like, it's like his full body flies through the mirror at Nancy when she's like, I think in her bedroom or something after running up the stairs.
Yeah.
Some good shit like that.
Doesn't he like chop his belly open and it's like entrails
like and maggots
and more pus
and stuff? Yeah.
Those really know the pus stuff.
It's good and gross.
Well, like when he chops his fingers off, it's like not drizzling. It's like full on like spurting out like upwards. It was pretty good.
Yeah. There's a lot of they're having fun. And I feel like, I mean, you're probably right. Like maybe they had ideas like special effects to kind of that kind of maybe played with the idea, the gags in this movie. But I bet you there was stuff like that in the script that they just tried to make and see the best they could do. And it was a pretty low budget movie still. And they did.
Do you know what the budget was?
Awesome.
It was less than $2 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it ended up making about 25, which for 1984 with a budget.
$1 billion, I think. It's like what Avatar
pretty
made.
Much all the money in the world.
Yeah, wow. That was all the money that was in the world.
Yeah.
Something that, in terms of, yeah, the things that are done that actually do scare you, I really liked the opening sequence when we just see him making these creepy wearable knives. It really reminded me of like the opening scene from like Coraline, where the other mother is, you got like the creepy needle hands and she's making a doll and we don't know what it means yet. And so we're seeing this like, you know, this force creating something and we know it's sinister and like the whole, I mean, yeah, it's just like flames in the background and knives and all this gory looking stuff, but we don't know what it is beyond, I mean, again, like the pop cultural kind of like, yeah, he's Freddy. He wears that thing on his hand.
Yeah, if you were going in cold.
You're like,
what is
this?
What is
this?
Yeah.
Who is making this? And it ends up being, that's a thing like with his backstory that I wish there had been more than just the one line from Nancy's mom of like, he used these knives. He made them himself. Here, I have them. And it's like, why? Why did he make this creepy knife hand so he could murder children? But
well,
it works
stuff
really
I don't
well.
Mind. Yeah, well, because especially in the beginning, the way this movie opens, where you see him building the glove, and like a really weird, it's like it gives it like kind of a grindhousey, dirty feeling.
Yeah.
The fact that the movie starts out and it's like boxed in, like this footage of him like building the. It's almost like Freddy's Home Movies. Like it's like the. You know what I mean? How the movie starts?
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
The,
yeah,
the
this
image
is like the Toby
in
Hooper influence, like,
this
is at its
like
strongest.
Part of the thing for him, yeah, of like, I kill kids and also check out my,
I'm just realizing,
my knife YouTube channel.
Do you think Tim Burton saw this movie and like got the idea for Edward Scissorhands? Because it was like, all the pieces are there. You got like Johnny Depp, these like knife hands things, and
like
who's weird
this
suburbia.
Sweet young thing?
Child killers.
Yeah, child killers.
Knife for hands.
He was probably drawing fucking Edward Scissorhands when he was like a toddler.
Came out of the womb.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's like, I've been drawing this face of a man I've never met before. Oh my God, it's him. It's his face.
All right, so I punched it up. The original ending of this movie was just going to be a happy ending. It was basically going to be the ending we got, only no creepy Freddy car and no pulling the dummy.
Wait, but like
the,
for real, like, oh, I'm glad I learned to not drink anymore.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh,
they need,
my
they
God.
Realize that they're like, we need the trope of the last scare. That's just how these movies end.
Exactly, we need to put the question mark at the end of the end.
Well, I got to say this. I think they were right. Because even if they didn't intend to have sequels, which clearly they probably did, but even if that wasn't the intention, it's like, that ending sucks, Wes. We need a better ending than that.
Wes, I don't buy that her mom stops drinking.
I need a little more Craven.
Do you know if it was like after test audiences saw it or not? Like that they changed it?
This sucks.
It was cool, but the ending was pretty fucking lame.
I want to say it was just the producer seeing it. It's just like, this sucks. Like, we have to have a last scare. It's a fucking horror movie. Yeah, exactly.
Faster, more intense.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so like, yeah, so Hall, yeah, because probably after, what year did Friday 13th come out? It was probably like, what, 3 years before this or 2 years?
It was in, 4 years, 1980.
So this was the last of those.
Of what we consider like the quintessential 80s slasher.
This was the last one to be introduced. All three would have ongoing sequels into the 90s.
I like that of, you know, in my mind, these are sort of like the reboot of the monster era of films. You know, when you had like the Dracula and Frankenstein and these are the monsters. And I think of all of these... this one is kind of interesting because it I think is the most interested in like in the crafting a unique new monster.
That's true.
And the craft of the kills, but like in Halloween and you know I guess I just said I haven't seen it Friday the 13th, so maybe I'm wrong, but they seem like they're just forces of nature. Whereas Freddy's like, well, he's the serial killer who we killed and burned alive, and now he haunts the dreams has like knives.
That's a really interesting point too of the like they're the you know. Modern in terms of 80s version of like the Warner Brothers cinematic the Universal monsters, and it's interesting to look at that through obviously the monsters of the original Universal monsters were reflecting other allegorical fears of the time. And, you know, you could argue like Dracula means this, the Wolfman means this, et cetera, losing control of yourself, et cetera, et cetera. And it's interesting to take a look at, what was it? Cause Halloween was, 78, Friday the 13th is 80. And this is 84. And it's interesting to look at then like, what kind of fears are these reflective of in society?
Let me guess what you're about to say, because I wanted you to tell the story of what I think it is you're about to say.
Okay.
Because you were talking about like the Universal monsters and they're going
to... You know exactly what I was about to say, right?
Yeah, because I want you to do it because you did the voice really well. The Harvey voice.
Oh, dude, the Bob Weinstein thing.
Oh, Bob, yeah, do
you
it.
You know, like, we got the monsters. We got the modern day monsters with Pinhead and Michael Myers. Well, no, that's not actually what I was going to get into, Ryan,
That was going to be Jane, Silent Bob meet all these guys and stuff. That's what you're going to...
That was an idea floated around at one point. That Jane,
and it was
going to
be like
Bob,
Elvis and Costello meet Frankenstein or whatever. You know, it was going to be Jane, Silent Bob meet Freddy or whatever it is.
That would have been the most 2000s thing to have ever existed.
Well, no, what I was getting
Hank
at... So,
Hill
so
Jackie, meets Freddy.
Jackie, you were mentioning like the Universal monsters and how they all maybe represented like, you know, something people were afraid of. That reminded me of... do you guys remember, it was just like 2009 when the Benicio del Toro Wolfman movie was coming out.
I remember thinking like, oh, that could be cool. And then very quickly being
it
like,
just super
oh,
wasn't.
Definitely not.
Well, what I'm getting at is I remember when that movie came out, every goddamn interview that any one of the actors in that movie did was all about like, oh, well,
actually,
you know,
represents.
I think the movie, it represents the beast in all of us.
Everyone started getting real artsy fartsy.
Sorry
with it.
To just like immediately start jerking thing. Off this podcast.
Seriously,
so
it's
what
like,
does
and I remember,
Freddy
I remember
mean?
Every interview, every actor said the same fucking thing. Like, oh, it's about the beast within. You know,
in well, 2009, we're like, oh, it's really a metaphor for like Occupy Wall Street.
Oh, God. I think that was 1 year before, so that would have been cool if they did say that, though. Yeah. I think something's going to happen.
The wolf really represents subprime mortgage lending.
It's a bubble. It's going to burst.
That Wolfman movie was the original and Ain't No Avatar. That's where that catchphrase came from.
Oh, wow. It's a famous from the Wolfman. Yeah.
I love that. I'm just going to say it. I don't mind that 2009 remake of the Wolfman. I think it's okay. I like the setting. Right. Ah, okay, I'm out of here. Bye.
Actors can jerk themselves off all day. But, I mean, if it's done well, you know, horror is very often a good allegory for other stuff.
Oh, for sure. Like, even the themes of sex and like there are movies I think that do that really well. Like It Follows is totally it's kind of like same thing as this movie, is like sex bad, or you're punished for sex, but done in a very different way,
in a definitely more nuanced kind of way than a more black and white, like the girl who had sex died and the girl who didn't.
And I don't really like, you know, I don't think that's necessarily, at least what I'm saying, it's not a knock against this movie, but it's just something that like a movie like It Follows does really well. It's like, let's take this trope and subvert it, or or just take a different spin on it that we haven't really
seen. And it's true that, I mean, all of these are products of their own time, and you know, 1984, it's a very acceptable thing to be like, yeah, the girl who has sex.
Well, I think this is a very 80s movie in a way that, like, what I was saying earlier about Freddy being kind of the moral rot of these characters who seem outwardly fake. I mean, that's like the 80s. Everything's great, right? Like, meanwhile, like, no, it's totally not. We're, like, destroying our mental institutions. So, like, now there's a bunch of homeless people who need help.
We have AIDS now.
Yeah, AIDS is a thing. And, like, it was, like, a very much, like, put on a happy face.
Put
like,
on your
everything's
happy Ronald
fine
Reagan face.
Here in the suburbs. Like, yeah, Ronald Reagan's the president. It's morning in America. It's don't worry about it. And meanwhile, Freddy Krueger is killing us in our dreams.
He will kill you
but they
and your children.
Him. He's seeking revenge. Freddy's revenge.
Yeah, and Ronald Reagan killed him.
Are you? You're like so... Ryan. Are you like you're just like embrace the rot? Like,
yeah. It's he's
okay. Yeah, Bane.
He, like you said yourself, he got off. You know, he was acquitted of his crimes, and they fucking still killed him.
How good? You know? Honestly, like I
how
never
good were Freddy's lawyers.
As of this recording,
the justice system is
good
broken.
Lawyers, yeah.
Yeah, Ryan, you're like, I would have defended that man. Like,
I think the law was on his side.
How good? I haven't seen, and I might
it
not ever
like
see.
Bridge of Spies, like Mike, like everyone deserves a fair defense, even the child killer with a claw hand.
Yeah,
look at. I understand that he has a claw hand. It seems a little guilty.
It's a bad look. We're not arguing that.
We all know he lives in a murder shack with various items strewn about that happen to belong
tons
to all the victims.
Tons of boilers all
maybe
around.
Maybe they're covered in blood.
This was the original concept for Bridge of Spies when Spielberg was working on it back in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I was thinking, I never saw Todd Phillips' 2019 Joker movie, but I'm just imagining now, like, just that movie, but Freddy Krueger is, like, the Joker.
He's just like, I only killed 10 kids.
Welcome to my Gotham, bitch.
Bitch. Okay, and on that note, as we've been quoting, Freddy Krueger's potty mouth... He does not call anyone the B word in this movie, as I recall.
Yeah, this is kind of a thing. It was almost like a thing like with Dirty Harry. Like when you think Dirty Harry, you think, oh yeah, that was the movie where like he says, "Do you feel lucky, punk?"
Yeah,
that line doesn't actually show up in that series until the fourth movie.
Oh, sure, wow. Yeah.
And it's kind of a similar thing here. The whole bitch thing, like "Welcome to my world, bitch," or "Hey, bitch," or. Bitch, the word bitch didn't show up
it's
in this series
Rick and
until
Morty.
The third movie. Well, yeah, Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty did this.
Wait, does Freddy Krueger never say Pickle Rick?
Not even once.
He doesn't say bitch or Pickle Rick until the third movie.
I love examples like that of like weird thing, like how like Sherlock Holmes never says it's elementary, my dear Watson.
Or yeah. I mean, Bones never says, "Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a blank." You couldn't say "damn it."
They never
it
say "beam
the...
me up, Scotty."
You could never say that on the air. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Luke,
to
I'm
beam,
your
Mr. Spock or Mr. Scott. Fuck. I'm a fake geek girl. Sorry.
Yeah. What's the you fake geek girl? Get out of here!
It's Mr. Scott. I know that.
What's Darth Vader's exact line? He's like,
no,
no,
I'm your father.
Okay.
Speaking of fake geeks.
Mike hates Star Wars.
Bosk, I am your father.
Mike hates Star Wars. Mike hates Star Wars.
Damn, called out.
But yeah, it's interesting. Going into this, it's like a weird like thing where like I just assume like, yeah, of course he says
he's
going to
call someone a
movies.
Bitch, obviously.
He's going to do it, but it doesn't happen until the third movie. It's nuts.
Oh, wow.
Like even when we sat down, even when the movie was done and we were about to talk, we were getting ready to talk about this. I again, in my mind, it's just going through like, bitch. You know what I mean? It's just like, of course he said bitch in the movie. It's
like, I like that you keep saying it that way. I never thought that. I've never seen any of the other ones and that wasn't a thing from pop culture I had heard. So it not only was I not expecting it or whatever, I was not surprised to not see it. It just gets
really played out as the sequels go. It's just
is
like,
it really it like so. Saying that like just saying that
it
word
just becomes
different...
like his catchphrase.
That's a weird catchphrase.
It's
and then Freddy. Yeah, then
is it the welcome
to
my
Rick
world or is it just like.
Well, that was a famous one, but I mean, I remember in Freddy versus Jason, it's like every time Freddy appears, almost he says "bitch."
Oh, God. So
it's like,
right,
all
right, were you in that? You were when you saw it in theaters, were people like, "Yeah, woo, he said it."
I don't remember, but I remember we
there was
bought
maybe five other people
else.
In the theater. I remember
it was
when
pretty
I saw
packed.
It.
I think I remember we bought tickets for something else and snuck into it because we were still underage.
Oh
or not.
Man, that's the way it's meant to. I think the true Wes Craven experience is being.
An underage
per teen sneaking into the movie theater.
I'm gonna see what else came out in August 2003 and just see.
Oh,
if,
that's
what
curious.
Else, what,
like,
what I
was,
bought a ticket for?
What was the box office that week looking like?
What did you not see?
Yeah,
in
what was the
favor
fake
of
ticket?
Sneaking into
some like
well,
Oscar
so
baity.
2003 summer of 2003. This would have been the summer of Lord of the Rings, right? Fellowship of or two.
Lord of the Rings was full, so I guess
Return of the
King.
Matrix Revolutions or with the
yeah
Smith
yeah that was
no.
2003
I think,
summer
I don't
yeah.
think it was August though that was later I think let's see go ahead keep talking. I'm looking Chad's printing some stuff out for me.
Well, I don't have too much. Well, I mean, we talked about Freddy. It's interesting, like, Freddy's look kind of evolves over the series. Like, I thought it's interesting in this one his hat was like a lot shorter. Like, hat didn't look what it typically looks like in my mind. Like, it almost looks like that part of it was like the top of it was cut off. Like, it's like a shorter hat than it usually is, and it's like he kind of develops his look as the series goes on. Like, I feel like once we hit the third movie, that's basically how he looks for the rest of the franchise.
I feel like we don't get too many direct looks at him in this movie. Like,
Spartly.
That's part of the whole, you know. The horror of it, of like, what is this nightmare creature? Oh God, I can see like his weird burned face. Oh God, he's showing us like his weird insides. Oh God, I see the hands, you know.
Well, he's more overtly scary in this one. Like, I think that's an important distinction that he doesn't say bitch all the time in this movie, because he doesn't become a joke until the third movie. In this movie, that you can tell they're really going for him to be like a disgusting, like sick, like.
He
you
know. Loves it. He yeah. loves doing what
well,
he's
he does,
doing. He is having
he,
the
like,
time of his life.
It doesn't go into full on like comedy in this movie.
No, I know. No, I know. I mean, I mean, it's like a sincere thing where I think, and that's it's kind of what makes it like it's both fun and unsettling. How much he's just like you know that is that's a baller move to establish how evil a person is as you see them mutilate themselves and like like it's like Jesus like what am I gonna
like,
what am I gonna
gross,
shoot him
he's gonna... in the other ones he's like a jokester
he's just a little stinker who murdered a bunch of children and teens.
Dave, since you're familiar with the whole kind of canon, is there any one kill or couple kills maybe that stick out to you as like, wow, that was really weird and creative?
Specifically in this one?
No. Maybe like throughout the franchise that like, well, that the coolest kill of the franchise or something like that.
Well, one that I'm very partial to is from the third one, which might also be my favorite Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
More than this.
But it's basically like
he says bitch in that one.
Basically, he like takes like he like rips open this kid's veins or something of his arms and his feet, pulls him out and like moves him like a marionette.
Shit.
Ugh. And so he moves. So imagine like these like bloody veins, like, you know, like this, his arms are up and he's like walking like a marionette.
Ugh.
And then like Freddy like walks him up to like this bell tower. And then, like, so you see, like, Freddy has, like, his claws, and he's got, like, what looks like wires attached to the kid. And then he cuts the strings, and the kid falls off to his death.
Ugh.
I think it's just the image of, like, the kid.
So he's, like, alive
with, like,
while he's being used as a puppet, like, dying.
Yeah.
Oh.
The image of, like, the kid, like, with his, like, veins, like, looking like kind of like bloody ropes.
There's not
like
a whole lot of vein gore that I've really seen. Like, that's pretty nuts.
But that was a pretty memorable one. Oh, and also in the third one, I honestly, like, probably a lot of the most memorable ones are in the third one. Like, the famous welcome to... Oh, no, what am I thinking of? He doesn't say welcome to my world. He says, welcome to prime time, bitch.
So basically,
that's the line. In the third movie, there's an act. There's a girl who wants to be an actress really bad. She's watching TV. The TV starts to get on the fritz, so she goes to, like, adjust it. And then Freddy's head comes out of the top of the TV. He, like, pulls her head into the TV and kills her, but not before saying, "Welcome to primetime, bitch." That's probably one of the most memorable kills from the movie.
That,
maybe not my favorite, but, like, in general in pop culture, that's probably one of the most famous ones.
I guess that is where the parody level of itself comes from, of like, well, yeah, I'm going to keep killing teens, but I'm going to get a line in first.
Ryan, did that,
Ryan,
you finished
that
printout?
Were you able to find out from the computer what was playing during the summer of 2003?
I did. We're still talking about, this is for Freddy versus Jason, by the way, so it's not even related, really, to this movie, because unfortunately I was not
around. It's a nightmare,
Ryan. So I either bought a ticket for the same day that Freddy versus Jason came out, there in the wide release, there was American Splendor, a movie called Grind. I don't even know what that is. Uptown Girls.
Came out. My God.
Dakota Brittany Fanning
Murphy,
and
right?
Brittany Murphy.
Was that like a
Brittany Murphy?
Let's make a movie out of Billy Joel songs?
No, it was Brittany Murphy's a rich girl who lost her money, and Dakota Fanning is a small child who's quite smart. And then they have to learn something from each other. Also,
that might have been one of Brittany Murphy's last movies.
It was. I mean,
that sounds like a movie you would buy a ticket to sneak
in peace,
into
Brittany
another
Murphy,
movie.
Though.
I bet you it could have been this. It could have been Open Range.
Oh,
I remember that.
Kurt Russell.
Maybe that or The Week Before.
Or, no, Kevin Costner, what am I thinking of?
Well, maybe, actually, no. I was thinking it was Open Range, the animated movie. Never mind.
That's what I was thinking, too.
It could have been last week's was SWAT. I remember I already saw SWAT in theaters, so maybe I was
the one.
Like,
you
oh,
buy
I just
a
imagine.
To sneak into
let's
else.
Let's. I could just imagine.
I thought that
the
was a straight to Spike TV movie.
Like,
can we
sit
to my
mom
here? I'll be the guy in the box office. So if Ryan and his, like, you know, fellow 15, 16 year olds walk up to the box
delinquents.
Office and you seriously say, like, oh, what can I get? What do you see?
For
today?
Uptown Girl.
Uptown Girls, please.
Well, I was going to go
like
further and say
like,
Open Range.
Friday the 13th and like Nightmare on Elm Street shirts.
three for Open Range, please. The newest Disney hit.
Yeah, it was probably something like that. I'm going to guess it was probably SWAT.
I would think so.
It could have been, Freaky Friday came out 2 weeks before. That might have been.
That was 2003. Oh, shit.
But it was so funny because I'm looking at these movies listed, and I worked at a theater during this time, but I didn't work at the first run. It was a dollar theater. So, because we had all these movies when I worked there. Like, I have a Freddy vs. Jason poster still from when I worked at that theater.
I can't believe you're 700 years old, Ryan.
I know. Right?
It's nuts.
It's been a long
time.
Hold on.
Are you talking about you have that poster in this nightmare world or back in reality?
Oh, like before we're in this nightmare world, you know, or like way back in the day. Oh. But, you know, in my old, in the old world before we showed up in this strange.
Man, that's too
universe.
Bad. I feel like the store could use a good Freddy vs. Jason poster.
Yeah, it could. Yeah.
If we ever make it out of this nightmare, you'll have to throw that poster up on the walls.
Yeah, that'd be good. I think that's a lot. Yeah. It's a cool poster. It's not a great movie, but it's a cool poster. Yeah.
Hey, I like that movie.
I do too. I like it. I don't think it's great, but I like it.
Well, before we get into whether or not we'd recommend this to the ghouls and demons of this nightmare dream world, I got some what the fuck moments that I wrote down, I jotted down while we were watching this. I just wanted to illuminate here.
Do it.
Right so, ahead.
All right, so the first bit, I know it's a dream, and maybe this is a nitpick CinemaSins type thing. Oh, sorry, I mentioned that.
Gotta bleep it again.
I know it's a dream that Tina is having in the beginning when she walks out into the alley, and then she gets chased by Freddy with super long, bad-looking arms. Why wouldn't you put shoes on?
That's okay. That was a little what the fuck moment on my part too, where she's like, someone's throwing rocks at my window so hard that the window is cracked. Time to put on a just large shirt and no shoes or
no
pants.
Shoes. And she's in an alley.
I mean, it's a very...
yeah, she responds by basically like someone shooting in her window to like, well, let me just go out here in a state of mostly undress and go
and
towards
I,
the
yeah,
danger.
I think it does work only in the fact that we know it's a dream sequence because
okay,
anything yeah. else is like, oh, man wrote this, didn't he?
That is true. If it was reality that this was happening in, I would be like, what the... But you're right. It's fucking Ryan again. It's like, it's a dream. It's magic. Just go
and
with it.
I mean, it's you might call it like a hand wave over all of it, but it does, I think, work in terms of the, like, you know, another kind of Inception thing of that thing of like, can you remember like how we got from the place we were to here? And that's like, oh,
yeah,
wait, I don't.
Yeah.
And it's like, how did I get outside with no shoes on? Oh, okay. Well, now this guy's chasing me. Shit. And it's
well, this is actually a thing where it's like the catch-all explanation actually works because that's just how dreams work.
It's so true.
All right, I retract that. What the fuck? But let's go into reality then, shall we?
Let's.
I have another one. This one's for reality. All right. So at the end of the movie, Nancy tells her dad, all right, Dad, I want you to come here in 20 minutes. You know what I mean? And then I'll get him and then I'll arrest him. Or you can arrest him, right? She plans, like, in 20 minutes, she's going to go into her dream, grab Freddy, bring him out, and then her dad will come in and arrest him.
This handcuffs will do it.
That's it.
Handcuffs
that's all
will
we need.
Do it. The supernatural child murderer. But so anyway, she tells him this, right? And then she proceeds to set up the traps. The traps weren't already set. She tells her dad, in 20 minutes from now, I want you to come in and arrest him. Then she proceeds to set up the traps. So she does all... So she takes what? She sets that all up in 5 minutes, talks to her mom, then she goes to sleep. I'm like, what the... I'm thinking time-wise, like, what... How is this
There's
happening?
There's some elaborate traps.
I thought the yeah. same thing when during that scene because... Yeah, she says when she's talking to Johnny Depp earlier before he dies, she's like, oh, it has to happen at midnight. Like, I'm going to call it, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's going to happen. And then he dies.
Yeah.
And then
Glenn's TV says it's
like
midnight when he dies.
The next scene is her, yeah, on the phone with her dad, the whole crime scene stuff, her on the phone. And she's like, at 12:30, I'm giving you 20 minutes to blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So that, like, apparently Johnny Depp died horrifically. The police got there and she came up with
earlier.
A plan and like it would. Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
The time just doesn't line up. And
how
you,
would she
this
know
reality.
That 20 minutes?
You know what
is...
did line up is all of the traps she set. And this is like one thing we didn't talk about that I want to mention. The traps are great, but the actor playing Freddy Krueger does such a good job of selling the like. Pain in this thing. He's like, blah! Like he
well,
has
like
equal
comical.
Joy in inflicting and receiving it. Like it's
he's
fun.
He's the true performer.
It's like so ridiculous. It's pretty great. It's a good performance.
Well, it's like prototype Home Alone, but like to an extensive. Well,
it's
like there's
it's
a moment
the
where
always like
a fucking.
You know, in real life, he'd be like mutilated in Home Alone, and this is like that. I mean, this
yeah.
is like he's like set on fire. Like not again.
There's a fucking fire. There's a scene where the mallet comes down and hits him in the gut. He'd be dead.
Yeah.
Does it hit him in the gut or the head? Was that the...
I thought it was the gut. He goes...
In my mind, I was like, she set up this sledgehammer to just like bean someone in the fucking face and just crush
Doesn't
their
he, like,
skull.
Fall down some stairs?
Yeah,
falls
all
down
that
some stairs. Good thing, drunk mom was passed out for all this. If she woke up and then just, oh god, my
well,
daughter's
it was
trapped.
Not, you know, in the end, very good for her because she turned into a skeleton and fell under the bed.
That's very true.
Like, what did you guys think of that moment?
that was pretty
it
weird.
Was big,
that was an effect I would
silly.
Not say held up well, but maybe it never did. Like, maybe that always was.
It
like,
was maybe at the point where they were like. Shit, we used we used that actress all the days we had her booked.
Well, I mean, I like the moment where Freddie like comes up out of the bed and like rips through the sheets. I mean, that was cool.
Yeah.
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 And then she turned into an army. Sure.
She was
skeleton.
Like a skeleton. I don't know. That's one of those things where it's like the setup is potentially super cool, and then the payoff was like, oh, it's just a skeleton and some dry ice.
Oh boy. All right. Well, I got a couple other what the fuck moments, but did you guys have any that stood out to you?
I think less than a what the fuck moment, but a lot, especially towards the beginning, and especially with Freddy's backstory, a lot of it is telling rather than showing. And sometimes it works, but sometimes it's very like, I don't know, like the first time we hear about... and maybe it's with the kind of obfuscation of Nancy and Tina at the beginning, because we start on Tina and it sets it up as her being potentially like the main character. And it's almost a surprise that her like nerdy friend ends up being like the main girl. But again, maybe it's like the, like, I don't know, social, sexual, political stuff of the time of like, well, that girl had sex. She can't be her.
Well, I think that was supposed to be kind of like an allusion to Psycho. Like in Psycho, you think like Janet Leigh is going to be the main character, but then she gets killed, and then suddenly it's like her sister.
And that's not even a what the fuck moment. I'm done. No, but I think the film does still do some telling versus showing for some of the like potentially more scary aspects. And again, I think like it can work, but when your main villain's backstory is delivered by the drunk mom character going, he was a horrific child murderer. So here are his knives. I took them.
Well, that's interesting you bring that up. That was actually my next what the fuck moment. But in retrospect, I don't think it is a what the fuck moment. I think it's more like, look how fucked up this character is.
Maybe so,
because I
wrote
it down like, why keep the glove in her furnace? Like, why keep the glove at all? How fucked up is this mom? And that's the answer to the question. She's super fucked up. She's the one that got affected the most by this whole thing.
That's true. I think maybe...
She is the monster. She's the real monster.
Oh, that's hella deep.
Mob justice is the real.
I think, maybe to that point, the real what the fuck moment is the timeline of everything. Did they say how many years ago Freddy's child murder spree and... acquittal happens.
Well, they say all the parents banded together, so I'm like,
so
was it just like when they were still
teenage children?
I
were
think
already
the
born.
Way I took it is there is entire generation that they had that was murdered, and all the kids we see right now are all the second kids,
and
the post murder.
And that's the what the fuck moment of like, is this not? And I mean, maybe again, it's. Works in the logic, whatever, of like, wouldn't this be a town-wide thing of like, remember that fucked up child murderer who got burned to death?
Well, and weirdly, this is kind of, I feel like it's a little better explained in the remake of like, Believe It or Not. Like they basically, if I remember right, they kind of cover it up.
And it's like,
remake.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah,
that's...
I feel like in a modern movie, the way that she would find out about it would be like doing some sort of like records, like who is this
she
guy?
She goes through
and
the
like,
microfiche.
Yeah,
or something.
She's like doing the microfiche film of like man burned alive or
yeah.
something.
And
wait
I guess
a minute.
Maybe it is more believable.
Because I thought that's called microfiche.
Yeah, when you have to go to the
old
the library,
records, olden time records.
I just
olden
never heard records. That said. Like that's called
microfiche.
Well, there's some court records.
Ryan,
still
we all
microfiche.
Know that you don't read. It's understandable.
Yeah,
but
that's
I think
true.
I, maybe it works again better. In
you never use one of those things.
Look at maybe you don't use microfiche, but some of us.
All
do all the time.
but yeah, maybe it did work better time and place of like it's the mid 80s. It is, you know, still feasible that like there's a crazy fucking thing that happened and no one's heard about it because it's like there's, you know,
we're just figuring out now what serial killers are. Like we
That's again, I opened my first book 2 weeks ago, so it's been really, really interesting since then.
What about you, Ryan? Did you have any what the fuck moments?
No, not really. I mean, I've seen it before.
It's all
Freddy
Magic.
So, yeah, it's a good ass movie. I don't know. There's a I don't know about what the fuck. I like the poster. That's I'll put a positive spin on this.
You're like, what the fuck?
Cool
this poster rocks.
it's a great poster, and it doesn't really give away. You don't see what he looks like. It's just like a really interesting looking poster. So
it's got a great tagline too.
I had to shout that out just before we forget to say.
Well, it's got a great tagline too. It's like, if Nancy doesn't wake up screaming, she won't wake up at all.
Oh shit!
Nice. Yeah.
Well, all right. I think our nightmare is running out of steam. Well, that was Nightmare on Elm Street, you guys. Would you recommend this to the ghouls and demons of Chad's Nightmare Dream World?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Yeah.
You just don't want to leave this nightmare, Ryan. You got a normal head. You don't want to wake up.
No, this is great. I love it.
Yeah,
you're like 16 hats on Amazon just now.
You're just like
all different colors on the night on the Wasteland Amazon, whatever that's called.
Waste on.
would
you say this is your? Do you like this more than the other the Halloween and Friday the 13th? Where does this rank for you?
That's interesting. I've definitely seen the other movies more. Halloween ranks up higher, for sure.
I agree. Halloween's number one for me.
Yeah, and then I do love the Friday the 13th movies, but they're a whole other level. They're like lower level, like, but they're you can't help but love them. They're just like a like there's something about it like that
like a low rent quality to them.
Yeah, I guess if I was like gonna rank all like the three first films, it'd be Halloween, this, then Friday the 13th. But
I agree.
But I'm gonna say though that, and I agree with what you were saying in the beginning, that it's that this series has kind of lent itself to creativity and kind of has like it. There's less things going like movies, and there's just kind of like more things to sink your teeth into watching them. I think I would probably put the Friday 13th like series above this as far as an enjoyment level, not quality level.
Okay.
If that makes sense, because those movies are so goofy and fun, and they're all pretty much the same. But I would probably put that series over this one just for sake of enjoyment. But this is a way better movie than any of them, really.
So, fair enough. What about you, Mike?
I think it's worth a watch. I think that it's cool. It's like a new monster. They like made a new monster. There wasn't a monster before. It wasn't a Dracula or Frankenstein, and it's weird and cool. And there's Johnny Depp in a crop top when he was like 20.
It's hard to beat that.
When he was guilt-free Johnny Depp.
Yeah, guilt-free Johnny Depp. You could enjoy your Johnny Depp with no second guesses about it. it was a different time. It's an interesting movie. There's some things to kind of think about, and he's evil and he loves it.
What about you, Jackie? Having never seen this movie before,
I would definitely recommend it. I mean, the amount of like practical effects that hold up and are like really just cool as shit and is worth it alone. I think also it's just a really good example of, for better or worse, like the many of the defining tropes of the genre. And I mean, for the most part, really impressive examples of them. They invented a new Dracula, basically. And, I would recommend it.
How would you compare it to Alien Covenant?
I mean, miles above. For a movie that I've watched unendingly, I've never not watched Alien Covenant at this point in the nightmare. It really also just doesn't exist as a movie. It's still, even though it's my greatest torment, it doesn't exist.
You've seen an unknowable amount of times, yet you still don't even know what happened.
I could have seen it once a million times that I have seen it. What happens? What's a single character's name? You can't answer that question. No one can.
Was this the one where they say get away from her, bitch? I don't even know anymore.
But I mean, yeah, for better or worse, sequels, not sequels, Nightmare on Elm Street is definitely worth the watch.
I would concur, and I would say that if I'm comparing it to the other big three horror franchises of this decade, for me it would go Halloween. If I'm comparing the first movies of these franchises, I would go Halloween, this, and Friday the 13th.
Yep.
But, anyway. Well, all right. Perfect. Chad, we did it. I think we did it. We watched the movie. Now what?
Oh, Dave, the movie isn't over. It's only just begun.
What? What are you talking about? We just finished it.
Do you not understand, Dave? And here, the movie never ends.
Oh, Jesus! When do we wake up?
You can't. We're stuck in here forever.
Well, can we at least have something to eat? Like popcorn? Wait! Taco Bell!
Oh, sweet!
Well, we can at least make this somewhat bearable, right, guys?
Taco Bell.
How was your dinner, Dave?
Not bad at all. Looks like we're one step ahead of you, buddy.
I'm glad you like it. It's the best of Fresco menu has to offer.
Fresco menu?
Oh, God!
Damn you, Chad!
What's the big deal? It's supposed to be healthier for you, right?
It's poison!
Somebody wake me up!
No! Oh, God, thank God, I'm back.
Hey, Dave. Hey, did you fall asleep in your clothes again last night?
What? Yeah. What are you wearing, Ryan?
Dave, I always wear a suit to the store. Are you all right?
Yeah.
Breakfast's ready.
Jackie, you're back. We thought you died in the explosion at the end of the Aliens episode.
Died? Don't be silly, Dave. You were just having a nightmare. Why don't you sit down and we'll all have breakfast together?
Oh, okay. It's good to be back. That nightmare was a doozy. What are we having anyway?
My favorite.
Oh, right. Fresco menu.
With cinnamon twists for dessert.
No!